Reconciliation, transformation, and duplication. This really is God's will for you. Now, you know, I've been walking with the Lord. July 17th of this year will be my 30th year of walking with the Lord. And I have been in thousands of church services. I've heard tens of thousands of messages. And oftentimes they'll use these words. They'll do a message, you know, five-point message, all starting with P. Or they'll do these words that rhyme and all that. And I've never been one to do that. I'm not big on that. I realize this is sounding a lot like that. Reconciliation, transformation, duplication. I just want you to know I'm not really one that tries to get cute with words, because what's far more important to me is the message and that you get the message. So I don't try and force the message into words that rhyme. You know what I'm saying? It's fine if it happens to hit right on the head with all of them. That's great, but I'd rather go the other direction. So I just say that I'm not trying to be cute with these words, but I realized it would maybe make it a little easier to remember. And I realize that's also why a lot of them do that, is to help you remember. But again, sometimes it's really strained. You know what I mean? It's like they're pushing it a little hard to get that word to rhyme. Okay, I kind of get what you mean. So, I mean, I could have said, you know, transformed, but since reconciliation ends with a shun, I just went with transformation. Anyhow, I just want you to know, this isn't just trying to be cute. This is real. That's my point. It really is reconciliation that God wants first and foremost from us. Now, that's an event. Mine happened on July 17th, 1983, at approximately 8 p.m. in a little town called Millington, Tennessee, in a small church of an Assembly of God. I was the only one in there who still had color in his hair. Had a median age of about 95 in the church. And I got radically saved. I think it was the first salvation they'd seen in about 45 years. And I came down to the front, knelt down, and gave my life to Christ. And when I opened up my eyes, the entire church was down there. All of them. Everybody was weeping. It was really precious. Yeah, it was precious. The pastor was weeping. He was just bawling. He told me later, it's not where I intended to go, but he told me later that he literally could see the glory of God on me. He said that's why he was crying. He said, Brad, I'm telling you, you could see the glow of God around you. And he said, it was blowing my mind, you know, and he was just bawling. And believe me, I've told you the story, right? I mean, I was so gone in the Holy Ghost, I'd laid there for 2 hours, and they physically picked me up and put me out on the front porch like a stray cat because they didn't know what to do with me. They had a pot blessing they had to get to, so they all finally left. They left me on the porch. I was gone in the Holy Ghost, man. It was awesome. I know. Well, they did leave me with I came there with a girl that was witnessing to me. They left me with her on the front porch. They're like, well, yeah, you know, food's getting cold. We got to do something, you know. I don't know what they said. I wasn't even aware of anything. I heard voices. Hey, 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 Brad, what's that? Yeah, down. Hey, down. Literally, that's what it was like. I ended up going to the pot blessing later. She kind of like said, what do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, I want to be around these people. Are you laughing at my pot blessing? Well, you know, we don't, as children of God, we don't do luck. Yeah, and I don't eat devil's eggs, I eat angel's eggs, all right? I don't know about you all. So I went to the party, I'm still gone, it's been over 2 hours, and they sit me down in this chair, they're all like helping me, you know, like I'm an invalid, and I just sat in this, because I was, and I just sat in this chair, and I saw the pastor coming, I'm just kind of watching him, you know, and he comes over, and he sits down, pulls up a chair right next to me. So, Brad, how are you doing? That's what it sounded like to me. I was just like, I was completely stoned in the Holy Ghost. It was a trip. So, I have no idea what that was about. Reconciliation. I was seriously reconciled. Thank you very much. Now, that was an event. Thank you, Joe, for getting me back on. That was an event. July 17th, 1983, at about 8 o'clock, I was reconciled to God. Now, what God intended for me and for every single one of you after that event takes place is a transformation process where he makes us like himself. He forms us to be like he intended us to be from the very beginning. When he created us in the Garden of Eden, he said, let us make man, and let us make him how? In our image and in our likeness. Right? That's how we were supposed to be. And we were. When he created us, we were just like him. But because of the fall, we have been removed greatly from that image and that likeness. And now, once we come back to the Father through reconciliation, he begins a transformation process to bring us back to the place that he intended us and designed us to be. We're out here in this place that much of what the word says seems counterintuitive to us, because it is. It seems foreign to us, because it is. But how many of you know it really is not counterintuitive to who you are now in Christ, and it's not foreign to who you are. It's just that we've been bathed in the things of this world. We've been conformed to this world, and so the things of God seem foreign and counterintuitive. But here's what will happen. If we allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind by the Word of God, it becomes intuitive, and the world's ways become counterintuitive. It becomes normal and familiar, and the ways of the world become foreign to us. Now, I have gone through the transformation process in many areas of my life to a great degree, others to a lesser degree. But the ones that I've gone to a great degree in, I have found myself on numerous occasions in situations where a group of people around me will be behaving in such a way that I look at it like, it is so foreign to me, so strange to me. Their talk, their mindset, their behavior. And then it hits me. And when I think about, wow, I used to do that 30 years ago. But today it is truly foreign to me. It is truly counterintuitive to me. I have to like change my thinking to even try and get back into thinking like that. It's not me. It's not how I think. There's been a transformation process that's happened in my life in that particular area, right? So that's where God is wanting to take us in all areas of life so that we become just like him. Now, that's the summary without going through all those various notes and slides. So the transformation process, how does it happen? Well, we looked at this, Romans 12:2, just to establish the point that God has in fact called us to it. This isn't just Brad's idea, but this is in the Word of God. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then it says how. What's the rest of that sentence say? By the renewing of your mind. Now get that. Think about that. That's it. That's the answer. That's how it's done. It's right there in your Bible. Not just in mine. I promise you, if you look in your Bible, it'll say this. If it doesn't, there is a trash can there in the back. I suggest you use it. Get yourself a new Bible. It is the Word of God that the transformation process happens by the renewing of the mind. Now this, I'm telling you, this is worth meditating on, just this sentence. Going home, spinning an hour today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and just say, by the renewing of my mind, the renewing of my mind, because it needs to become a truth, a reality to you, that you don't just go, yeah, the renewing of my mind, and then move on, because then you don't have it. It's an incredible thing to think that the renewing of my mind will literally transform my life. And when I talk about a transformation of a life, I'm talking about a life that looks like Peter walking down the street in Jerusalem, and people, if they got so close as to touch his shadow, if they got within shadow distance of him, they were instantaneously healed. I'm talking about a man who could speak the word of God with such power that hundreds and even thousands of people in one message would give their life over to Jesus at the risk of being killed in that environment, in that culture. He spoke with such power. Now remember, just weeks earlier, this is the same man who denied knowing Jesus. He denied knowing Christ. What happened to him? What was the difference? He got reconciled to the Father, which caused the Spirit of God to be breathed on the inside of him. He then began to think on the things that Jesus told him. Now that he has the Spirit of God on the inside of him, he's able to comprehend and get revelation from the things God told him. And as he meditated, I shouldn't say weeks, as he began to walk in this, because I don't know how long, it could have been weeks, could have been months, it was really quick afterwards that he was going out and preaching the gospel, and another man by the name of Paul doing the same thing. And just those two men, even though the other 10 had a lot to do with it, it is recorded those two men alone evangelized the known world. Do you realize what kind of a statement that is? That's unbelievable. I mean, that's incredible. That was a transformation that happened in their lives. And it happened only by one way. The Spirit of God operating with the Word of God in their life transformed them. Now I want to go into it. I want to talk to us about how does this transformation process take place. It's by the renewing of your mind, right? So that's the emphasis. You need to know that. Now I want to show you scripture after scripture so you can get this in. Let's go. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And verses, we're going to read basically verses 1 through 4. And we're going to take this slow, and I'm going to build on it, and then we'll go into other verses after that. He's already excited about it. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those in Agathos who have obtained like precious faith, that faith that's on the inside of you, as I have, Peter saying, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness. It's through the righteousness of Christ that we receive this gift of faith. Then he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is the power of God working in our behalf to change our life. This is the power that creates the transformation. So we want this. We want this thing called grace operating in our life in a powerful way. It says grace be multiplied to you. I know it says peace too, but I'm talking about grace. Grace be multiplied to you. How? Oh, no, that's right. I gave you all these verses on grace. Remember that? We're not doing that right now. I'm getting back to there. No. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Love that verse. Here's the things that grace provides for us: goodness, provision, enabling power, blessings, favor. That was just some of the examples. You remember those scriptures we read? So getting back to this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of. That's how it comes. In the knowledge of. That's how grace is multiplied to you. In the knowledge of. It's in the knowledge. Did you want to say something? Is that what it means? I did look them up, but I can't remember right now. Yes. Okay, but I'm not going to say much because I don't know for sure. I don't like to say anything I don't know. In the knowledge of. That's where it's multiplied. In the knowledge. The knowledge of God the Father and God the Son. The knowledge of them multiplies grace in our life. It causes grace to flow in your life through knowledge, the knowledge of God. Listen, I think maybe I can, I'm going to do something. I'm going to step out on the on the water here for a minute, hoping I don't sink. I kind of want to make a point here, and this has nothing to do with for me. This isn't for me. This isn't for, like, to prove my teachings of anything. All I'm doing is teaching the Word. I'm not the creator of the Word, right? I'm just giving you the Word. I'm going to do something for you to make a point. I've been teaching on grace in particular for 6 months, but some other powerful truths over the last year. I want to ask you, is there anyone here who would be courageous enough to come up here and talk to us about a transformation you've recognized already happening in your life? You know, like, you've been in a situation where you found yourself responding differently than you would have a year ago because of knowledge that you've gained, where you found yourself more confident, less fearful, maybe operating in more joy in your life. You know, these kinds of things. Is there anyone who can actually speak to it, like a very specific situation that would help us, like a testimony? You know, there was a situation where blah, 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 and this happened, and I was like, man, I love how I felt about that, how I responded to that, or, you know, or just in my life in general, I've been recognizing an enormous joy or love for God that I did not have before. You know, are you with me? Anything like that? Can anyone testify to that? Would anyone be willing to come up here and testify to that? Tell you what, get the pump primed, give a 2-minute testimony. Everyone say anything. I just want you to do it real concise.
Okay.
Lest you take up the rest of my preaching time.
I didn't want it to be me, so hopefully someone else will jump in. Is that the idea?
Absolutely, the idea.
Pump prime, okay.
But you're just as qualified, important as everyone else, so you go, man. You know what I mean? Your testimony is just as good. So.
Okay, here's the testimony. Anxiety has been a history for me. Anxiety is a lot about the work not being finished, but the work's been finished in Christ. Last May, Brad alerted me and the leadership team to a verse that I just had kind of always glossed over for Romans chapter 5. It says, I've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Okay, I set my alarm in the morning for 5:17. And when it goes off, what I say out loud is, thank you, Father. I receive your abundance of grace and your gift of righteousness.
Amen.
I reign in life
Amen.
Through the one Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I thank you for this amazing day today, Lord. I thank you that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, that I reign in life. I receive your abundance of grace and your gift of righteousness. I'm off to a pretty good start within 30 seconds.
Amen.
And the testimony of it is, my days are amazing. They're absolutely amazing. It's nearly impossible for me to have a bad day. And that's not like if condemned, if I struggle someday. But it just doesn't happen much. I can have a hard day. It's not a hard day. It's a great day. And it's not like some sort of weird self-talk sort of thing, but it is my mind being transformed to how do you do life? How do you reign in life? Through the one Jesus Christ. Why? Because I've received the abundance of grace. And his gift of righteousness. I wake up every morning reminding myself that I don't have to work for his righteousness. It's already been totally provided for me.
So you're saying you had more anxiety
way before
previous
this.
To this.
Yeah, because I got this settled in my heart. And it took probably 2-3 months. I started really noticing a difference 2-3 months into saying that every single morning.
Yeah, so it wasn't just because one day you started saying
no.
It took time.
Exactly. The
and
Lord
then
laid
you
the verse
saw
on
the
my
change.
Heart. But 2-3 months later, if I look back, I'm like, man, I do not wake up with that burden of like, whoa, there's a lot to do today. I hope today goes good. I don't wake up with that. And if I do, I just send that out to the rubbish heap real quick and declare what the Word of God says and what I have revelation of. Do you know what I mean? And I still will set my alarm for 5:17 in the morning. Sometimes I'll set it for 4:44 if I need to set it something around there. 4 is the number of righteousness to me, at least. I don't know if it is overall. But you know what I mean? I just wake up to what the Word is saying about who I am. So the testimony is I walk in a very reigning sort of way over all of my circumstances because of the finished work of the cross. And I did not have that a year ago. So that's the testimony.
And one more specific way to say that reigning in this case is a lack of anxiety, less anxiety than you used to have.
Exactly. Yeah.
Grace and what?
Peace
be multiplied to you in the knowledge of And he began to meditate on a particular truth, and that knowledge brought peace and, it sounds like, grace into his life, in that his life is rolling with a more of a supernatural influence on it than what he had before. That's awesome. Anybody else? Can you speak to it? Yeah.
There we go.
There, Kenton? Yeah. What happened? Is it green? Yes. Push and hold.
Hello.
Oh, wow. Nice. So I do electrical work, and frequently it's outside. Usually around this time of year, or maybe even towards the end of the year, coming into the new year, I'm anticipating freezing all of my digits off and, you know, and I'm actually looking for, like, in my heart, I'm looking for other work and, you know, reading books about changing careers and stuff. During the course of the fall, late summer and fall, God's just been transforming my mind towards my work.
Wow.
Because we couldn't keep up with the amount of work. And so, like, this is like, I'm understanding that, and this actually was a prophetic word from Brian, that our company was going to end, like, this is going to be the best. 2012 is going to be the best year of our lives.
And it was. It totally was. And I have full confidence that this is going to be, that 2013 is going to be even better. And I was in a client's house. He's a prominent Jewish businessman. And I'm whistling while I'm working because I go from glory to glory, and every day is the best day of my life if I decide it's going to be. And he's like, well, there's a man who you know, enjoys what he does. And I'm like, well, not always. You know, it hasn't always been that way. Like, I know I'm going to be digging a trench in the mud, and it's 7 degrees outside. You know, that, I don't really look forward to that. But if I decide it's going to be amazing, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between fact and truth. And he's like, I don't understand. And so, the fact is, it's freezing cold, and it's not pleasant. I'm going to come home exhausted, and I'm going to be covered in head to toe in mud, or, you know, freezing. But the truth is, cause that's the fact, right? The truth is, the Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want.
Amen.
Like, you guys have the Psalms, right? Well, yeah, we actually loaned them to you. I'm like, oh. We're taking good care of them, thanks. and I said, you understand that the Lord, there is nothing that I want because the Lord is my shepherd. And he was like, oh. I mean, he's pretty encouraged from his own scripture. Awesome. Anyone else?
Again, 2 minutes. Keep it tight.
My testimony is being humble. I've met two incredible men since I've been at this church. And what is my men's group leader? Andy, you've impressed me. I mean, I'm twice your age, but I know nothing of Christ if it wasn't for you teaching me. And
man,
I want you to know that you've really, I'm humbled to know you.
Man.
Okay? And Peter,
whew.
I've learned so much, not only as a babe in Christ, but as a man, because of the talks that we've had, okay? And that's my testimony, is being humble, is because at one time in my life, I was not a humble man.
Amen.
Okay?
That's a full-on transformation.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
I was not humble.
Yes,
glory. I did not listen to nobody.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, I was my own man. I was not of Christ then, okay? You have to be humble to be Christ-like.
That's right.
And
that's a part of his character.
And I look up to you as almost like a father-like person. Okay?
That's awesome.
And Andy, I look at you as a brother.
Amen.
Okay? In Christ. And, you know,
Amen.
In the last 2 years that I've been here, you know, I've been much different with my wife than I used to be. And I'm because like I said, I was not a humble man. You know,
she's like, thank you, Jesus.
And I just, you know,
amen. Thank you, Brian. One more about the Word of God that's changed some thoughts in your life, Aaron. Oh, I didn't. Okay, well, two more then. No, I want you to do it too, Megan. And now specifically about, you know, the Word has changed it and it's caused a change in your life. Just so we're keeping this on track. So
yeah, I've dealt a lot with condemnation in my life. I pretty much spend most of my life feeling condemned about what I'm not. I'm still fighting that, but like the truth is really like making inroads, and one inroad that it's made is actually in leading worship for you guys. Because if before, like, if I felt, if I'd been fighting with Derek that morning, or if I decided to browse Facebook instead of reading the Word that morning, or if I skipped prayer, or if I just felt out of it, or couldn't get into the presence of God, or feel like I was in the presence of God, I just felt just like weighed down, like, why am I up here? I don't deserve to be up here. Like, I'm going to be a curse to the body because I can't, like, you know, it's just like, I was really, like, actually laboring under those thoughts. And that doesn't really happen anymore.
Woo!
It really doesn't. That my works have absolutely nothing to do with my position before the Lord.
Yes.
And how my day went has nothing to do with my ability for God to flow through me, because God is in me 100% all the time, and my gifting is a gift from Him. And my gift is to lead worship, and that's a gift from Him. How I'm doing that day has absolutely nothing to do with the gift that He's put in me. So
wait a minute. Are you saying that you're like completely in right standing with God perfectly?
That would be correct.
And it doesn't have anything to do with what you did?
Not in the slightest.
Well, then how is it that you have that?
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Wow, you mean by His work. Woo! That's good. Yes. And you're saying you have absolutely, you've literally, that's not the word, you've noticed the difference. I mean, your life has been changed in that
at
area.
At least from there.
Yes.
Like, I would say before, the percentage of times that I would come down from the stage feeling like I had failed.
Yeah.
And feeling as though I had no right to be leading worship for anybody.
Right.
I was coming down from the stage feeling that way about 75% of the time.
Okay.
Now it's maybe 0.5% at the most.
Yes, and we're going to work on that 0.5.
Yeah.
Amen. Woo! That's awesome.
Mine is just a short, quick one. It's kind of in line with Peter. I've always struggled with anxiety and just fear of man and what people think about me. And an occurrence happened about a week ago, and like, the Lord started this work of, like, thankfulness and praise about a year ago. And something happened last week that would have taken me out for probably a whole week of introspective, like, just thinking about all these different things. And it would have taken me out literally for a week. My family would have been, like, struggling. Like, I would have been depressed on the couch, like, over something so small. Like, it was not even a big deal. It just messes with my brain. But so initially, I started to go down that path, and the Lord was like, you're not going there today. You're not going to waste this day. It's not going to happen. And I just started to, like, praise Him and worship Him and declare just thankfulness and truth. And I was out of it, like, by another 30 minutes, I was out of it completely. And I was able to do my laundry, finish all the things I needed to do for the day. And yeah.
Amen. So, woo! Okay. All right. Make a believer out of me.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm making a believer out of myself. I grew up in a family full of violence. You know, my father, he was a good man when he was sober, and he was absolutely wretched when he was not sober. And he used to beat my mother methodically, and we saw this, and it did a number on us, on our psyche. And even though I thought I was a good person, and I would take a lot off of people, if you push me, I push back, and I push back real hard. Okay, take you out hard. And I didn't like that in me, and I know I was chastised by God because he loved me. And an incident happened on my job where someone threw coffee in my face, and the Holy Spirit just came over me. Because the old me would have picked up something and knocked the heck out of him. But the new me,
yes,
it was his grace. It was just his grace. And when I saw this person again, I hugged him and asked him, would you like a cup of coffee? Can I pour that for you? And it was with sincerity and it was with love. Yeah. And I knew that it was not me. It was his grace. Because without self-control, we will not enter the kingdom of God. He's made that clear.
Yeah.
And in 2 Peter, it says that very same thing. It says, where in 2 Peter 1, verse 5, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add your faith, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Self-control is what I lacked. Yeah. And today, we had a fender bender trying to get here.
Yeah.
And this little girl had just spiraled out of control, and I was all kind of names. And I could just feel the glory of God over me. And I looked at my car, and I could just feel the spirit from the top of my head just coming over my body.
Yeah.
And this was to prevent me
from
knocking her
out. Now, what's brought that change? That's what we're running to get to. Was there a particular, is there a truth that you were gaining at some point somehow, a particular truth?
Yeah, because I know that I'm his, and that I need to walk in his righteousness. I need to walk in the grace and mercy that he has given me.
Yeah.
And I don't need to act that way.
Yeah.
Because he's got my back.
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, everything that I'm learning in here, I'm putting it into my spirit.
Yep.
You know, not as much as I'd like to, but it's happening.
Yes.
And it's happening. And it's not happening because of me. It is happening because of him.
Amen. Thank you, Thelma. Mm-hmm. You can hand that to Peter. All right. That's awesome. I hope you guys are getting... Yeah, it's in the knowledge of God. It literally brings transformation to your emotional makeup, to your psychological makeup. It'll bring peace where there used to be anxiety. It'll bring joy where there used to be condemnation. It'll bring joy where there used to be dread. But something Thelma even said there right at the end, she goes, it's not as much as I'd like to, but I'm seeing the change, but I know, you know, I can't remember exactly how you said it, but it's not as much as I'd like for it to be. This is what I want to encourage you in. We're all tasting a certain degree, varying degrees, but I promise you there is 1,000 times more where that came from. And the way that we tap into that more where you're seeing radical, I mean radical transformations in your life, is in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Jesus said, this is eternal life. Can anyone tell me what the rest of that verse says? John 17:3. This is eternal life. What? To know God. That you would know the Father and His Son. That's eternal life. That's literally where this life force called Zoe comes from. It explodes out of you and changes your the structure of your character, the structure of your thinking process, the power that comes out of you can literally heal sick people, comes from Zoe life, and the Zoe comes from the knowledge of God. I can't really even fully explain to you how that is. I know it in a degree. I know it to a degree. But what I want to impress on you is the Word of God says this is how it happens. What's so beautiful about the Word is you don't even have to understand it to enjoy its benefit. All we have to do is do it. Do what the Word of God says and you will see the benefit of it. But as we meditate in it, we get understanding. Understanding explodes inside of us, and we'll find ourselves being able to walk in the truth more frequently because we understand it more. We can walk in it. We'll see situations where we realize that's what the Word of God's talking about. I know how to address this issue. So you want to meditate to bring more understanding, but, you know, like, for example, tithing. Before I even understood all the whys behind it, I just did it because the Word of God said it. I immediately began to experience financial blessing in my life I did not experience previous to tithing. Tithing makes no sense. How can giving 10% away get me, make it so that I have more? That makes no sense. I don't care how sophisticated a calculator you use. 100% minus 10% is a smaller number. But in the economy of God, it's a bigger number. A much bigger number. It's counterintuitive. I have been so transformed in my mind in regards to tithing, it is literally counterintuitive to me to not tithe. I mean, as soon as I hear not tithing, it's like the fear of God strikes me. It's like, whoa. Yes, bad plan. Bad plan. Wouldn't touch that with a 1,000-foot pole. I mean, it's just, you know, literally my thinking is entirely different. When I hear people talk to me that are in the world and don't understand, they say, oh, you know, those Christians, and they're told they got to give 10%, and then the churches take 10%, and they start talking like that. I'm like, ooh, wow, you're living over there? I mean, it's just like, it's foreign to me, that kind of thinking. I realize they don't get it. And I understand that. I didn't get it. I just started studying the Word. I saw it in the Word. Actually, it wasn't so much from seeing in the Word. I was desperately broke. It's a long story, but the Lord spoke to me when I said, God, help. And he spoke one word, tithe. Huh? I'm broke. And he's telling me, give him money. He's kind of funny that way. I had an issue of being grouchy when I was hungry. And I spoke to the Lord about it. And I said, God, you said that everything I need is in your Word. Jesus was not grouchy when he got hungry. God, I need your help. What's your Word have to say about this? Isaiah 58. That's what he said to me, just like that. I had no idea what Isaiah 58 said. Wow, it's in Isaiah 58. I turned to it. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Fast? Now, wait a minute. Don't you understand? It's when I'm hungry that I have this problem. Not a word. Lord, when I'm hungry is when I have this problem. Silence. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free? Oh, wow. This is an oppression. This is a bondage in my life. So, made a commitment. Started tithing or fasting every Tuesday. A couple months later, really rough Tuesdays. Every Tuesday was a rough day for me, man. But I did it. It was like 2 months later. I'm at home doing the dishes. It's about 5 p.m. My brother comes home from work. We're both living together. And he busts through the door with my girlfriend at the time. They came through the door at the same time. And I'm in, just having a great time singing, just loving the Lord, doing dishes. And they just stop. They're like, man, what are you so happy about? I'm like, I don't know. Just happy, man. And then it hit me. This is Tuesday. I haven't eaten all day. I am happier than normal on the day that I haven't eaten all day. And I knew then it had been broken. It had been broken over my life. It was a supernatural thing, right? My point is, I didn't understand how fasting works. I just did it because the Word of God says it works. I can't explain to you totally why knowledge of God brings transformation into your life. I understand a lot about it. I just don't understand it all. But I'm just telling you, you see what that word says? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. That's how grace flows towards your life. So you're getting bits and pieces of some truth. The testimonies you gave is what that truth has done to you. It's literally bringing grace into your life, setting you free from bondages in your life. Look at the next verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 together. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. His power has given to us all things. What are you in need of? He's provided that. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him. That's where the power is. And then the next verse goes on to say, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. It's just another way of saying the word. Great and precious promises, that through these, the truths that you've been learning and all, the many more that are in here, through these, we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, condemnation, depression, sickness, disease that's in the world through lust. What's that mean? Through the lust of man, eating of the tree, sin entered in and caused corruption. The word of God causes you to rise above that corruption that's in the earth and escape it. It's in the word. So when you find yourself saying, I really want to change. Listen, here's where most Christians are. This is where we are. We give our life to Christ, right? Reconciliation. The three stages. I'm going to close with this. Reconciliation, right? And we think, just through a lack of understanding, good hearts, wrong head knowledge, we think, that's it. I gave my life to Christ. I'm a child of God. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to praise the Lord, and I'm going to hang around Christians, because I know I shouldn't be hanging around people that are living an ungodly lifestyle, and I'm just going to do, you know, my best to just be with God, and I'm going to love God, and you know, I'm going to hang on until Jesus comes back. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try not to think bad thoughts. I'm going to just try and do good. You know, this is mainly what we think is our walk. This is the life. And what I'm telling you is that's only the first stage is reconciliation. And God says, oh, no way, we have a whole lot more to do here called transformation. And that transformation, if you read my word, you're never going to find it anywhere. It says takes place by your willpower. Amen. There's no scripture that's going to tell you it's by your willpower that it's done. Well, what does my word say? It's by the knowledge that you gain of me and what I have to say about you. See, listen, here's what I'm trying to tell you. The ability to transform, the ability to be transformed is in the word. The ability is in the word. It's pregnant inside of the word. There are billions of books that have been written on the earth, right? But all of it is man. It's all man. It's all what man has to say. It's all man, 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 man. And there's a lot of good in it. I mean, there's some really intelligent people that have written some really incredible books, and there's a lot of knowledge that can come from it. But it's still man's words. The word of God does not say that the power is in the words of man. It says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is living and powerful. It is literally, there is no other book on planet Earth that is like the Bible. None. There's no other book like it. I've told you before, if you listen carefully, I don't know if you've ever done this, if you listen carefully to this, not with all the coughing going on, it's not really working today. If you listen carefully, it's breathing. This is a living word. She's listening. Very good. This book is alive. It really, it truly is alive. It's a miracle. Thing. I hate to call it a thing. This is a miraculous sword. What? Sword. Yeah, that's what I was thinking when he said that. It made me think of source. This is a miraculous source. I mean, it really is. The ability is not within you and me per se, even though it's in us because of his spirit. The ability to be transformed is literally pregnant inside of the word. That's why God says things like to Joshua, who's going to follow Moses, after an incredible ministry. I mean, the man delivers them from the most powerful ruler in all of the world, takes them out into a desert, smokes a rock to bring water from it, brings manna down from heaven, puts his staff into a river, parts a river so they can all walk across on dry land, and then dies. Now it's Joshua's turn. Next. Joshua's got millions of people. Lord, are you serious? I have to follow that? And he says, what do I do? And the Lord said, thou shalt, what? Meditate in my word day and night. Thou shalt not allow this word to depart from your mouth, meaning only my word comes out of your mouth. Don't let it depart where anything else comes out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night. Listen to what he's doing. He's telling them, get the knowledge of the word. You shall meditate in it day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. That was his answer. The word. The ability to transform is in the word. Let the word do its work. Get the word in you and let it do its work. But it can't do the work if we aren't getting the word in us. So what I've done over the last 6 months, I'm taking major truths about who you are in Christ, and I'm handing those to you with numerous scriptures so that you can then take those scriptures and go home and meditate in them, and meditate in them, and meditate in them. Don't worry about, well, I don't know if I'm getting this or not getting it. I don't even worry that much about it. When I'm reading the word, I'm really not that concerned if I'm getting it. I want to get it, but I'm not that concerned about it. I know my spirit is drinking it in, drinking it in, drinking it in. And the word is going in me, and it will do the work. The word of God is living, and it's powerful. It will divide asunder the soul and the spirit, and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and even the intents of the heart. The word of God is incredible. It's a living thing. God says the Israelites did not ever receive the blessing I had for them because though they had the word, it was not mixed with faith. It takes both of those. It takes mixing. So here's what I do try and do. When I'm reading the word, I try and remind myself constantly. I have to do it less now because I just know, because I've experienced enough. This is God's word. This is God's word. And so it just helps me to believe it as I'm reading it. So whatever it says to you, when you see it saying something that seems outrageous, just say, it's God, so it's true. You know what I mean? Believe the word. You got to mix the word with faith. So transformation, the transformation that we all can be experiencing, where we are laying hands on the sick and we're raising people from the dead, and we have joy that is so outrageous, it's inexpressible and full of the glory of God, walking it every day, where no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens in our life, it literally is, it does not affect our level of peace, it doesn't affect our joy. We're walking around in a joy that's so outrageous. I've told you before, I used to, on several occasions, I would have to ask God to turn it down. I could not contain it. The joy was so outrageous. That transformation happened like that in my life because I was meditating in the word as much as I was. That's what did it. I wasn't any more intelligent back then or less intelligent now or anything like that. It had nothing to do with me. I was just spending more time in the word. The word was transforming me and filling me with the joy of the Lord. Amen? All right. I'm going to end it there.